This is the Action Movie Guys Podcast, bringing you action movie reviews from across the decades, plus box office numbers and insight like never before. And now, your hosts of the Action Movie Guys Podcast, Alex and Nate.
What's up, everyone? Welcome to episode number 304 of the Action Movie Guys Podcast. I'm your host, Nate, and this is my co-host,
Alex Figueroa.
And on this episode, we are starting a new series. So not a new series, not a new franchise, but a new theme as far as our movies go. And we're going to be covering a few remakes of older movies, good or bad. And if I think correctly, all of the originals of these movies are mostly considered very good. Some of them better than others, but very good. But we're going to let you know if these remakes stand up to those originals. And we do have a special guest this week. Oh, by the way, the movie's Death Wish. We're going to be doing Death Wish is the first one that we're going to be doing for remake. Month. We do have a special guest. You heard him on our last episode. You've seen him on Instagram and on our YouTube channel. Please say hello to Mr. Robert. Rob, let everyone know, first of all, where they could find you and who you are.
Hi, everybody. Yeah, you can find me on Instagram. I'm more active there at the Big Knock 007 on Instagram there. You get movie related posts and stuff like that.
There you
and
go.
I think people
Big Knock, and that's Knock NAK, by the K. way, for anybody.
Right.
Big Knock NAK.
The number 007.
All right. Big Knock 007. Now, Rob, thank you for being here. Let's go ahead and talk about this movie really quick. So this movie came out in 2018. It stars my dad, Bruce Willis, and it was directed. It also has Elizabeth Shue in there, Vincent D'Onofrio.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. They got some actors in there. And then it also is directed by Eli Roth, who is much more known for his horror movies than action movies at all. And it was written by Joe Carnahan. Now, Joe Carnahan, for us here on the podcast, the only movie we've done from him so far is The A-Team. He directed The A-Team, the remake. We have not done Smokin' Aces yet, but that was another Joe Carnahan movie. But he wrote this movie, and Eli Roth directed it. So I don't know if that means anything to you guys listening, but there you go. Now, Alex, have you ever seen this remake prior to this viewing?
Oh, no. First of all, I never seen it. This is the first time watch for me, okay? I'm going to be really honest.
Okay.
I didn't even know this movie. I know a lot of people who's like, oh, Bruce Willis did Death Wish, but I thought people were full of shit. I was like, yeah, right. So they're not going to do a Charles Bronson classic.
For the last
classic.
5 years thinking this was a make-believe movie?
I thought it was make-believe movie. Instead of me going on Google and put Death Wish coming out, but I didn't do that for certain. So it's kind of funny.
This is a first for you. Usually, you have never heard of it. This is the first time you've ever heard of a movie and didn't think it was real. Oh, my gosh. Well, we got a new bar, so I'm very excited to see what you say. Yeah. Rob, I'm assuming you have seen this before.
I've seen it. I own the Blu-ray. And also pre-ordered the 4K, too.
So. Oh, okay. Well, you must enjoy it. So, you know, we'll get to some scores in a moment. But before we do, let me tell you about these Rotten Tomatoes score. And you guys are going to be very surprised with this. This has to be one of the biggest gaps between the two audience and critics that I can remember.
70%?
It's way different. I don't remember one being this big in a long time. The critic score for this is 18%. So very low. Very low. Not good. 18% critic score. But somehow, some way, the audience score for this movie is a 70%. So,
so that is high.
There's a 52% difference between the critics and the audience. Alex, I don't know if you remember one this big. I can't off the top of my head that we've
been. I know this is the first in this show that is a 60% gap between the two. Like, that is such a freaking
it's crazy. Rob, anything to say on that? Do you find it surprising or interesting in any sort of way?
I didn't think the gap was that big. I heard the critic score, that's not surprising, but the 70% for the audience, that's crazy.
Wow. I'm way more surprised about the 70% audience score than I am about the 18% critic score. And that's not me doing a spoiler and saying I think the movie's bad. I'm just not surprised that the critics would give this movie that.
Yeah.
I am surprised that 70% of audiences just loved it, because I don't think this movie made any money. I don't remember it being a big...
I'll pull that up. I have it right here.
I don't remember it being a big hit of any sort, but for you would think for something that well-received...
I remember it was going against Red Sparrow when it came out.
The Jennifer Lawrence movie?
Yeah, that was a big
movie. What a bad weekend for the theater. Okay.
Well, so this was a budget of $30 million, okay, and it only grossed $49
million. Just a failure. Ooh. I mean, yeah. I wouldn't call it an outright flop because it only needed to make like 60, but it did it. Yeah. It came in under. Maybe it did okay on video. It's getting a 4K, so maybe it has some sort of cult audience with this 70%. I don't know. Anyway, maybe. Let's talk about the movie itself, because Alex thought it was make-believe and Rob pre-ordered the 4K. Rob, I'm going to let you go first. You are going to be talking about our main character. He's played by Bruce Willis, my dad, and he is, what is it, Kersey? Paul? Is it Paul?
Paul.
Kersey? Paul Kersey.
Paul Kersey. Yeah. Okay, what did you think?
I liked Bruce in this one, your dad here. Not bad. The original played by Charles Bronson was an architect. Now he's playing a surgeon or a doctor, now ER doctor. So I give Bruce a 4. I thought he was convincing at the role, and you kind of feel his what happened to him, and his wife's demise. And I give him a 4. I think this is kind of like the last kind of big theatrical release for Bruce Willis. I think before he came,
you might be DVD right. He did Willis, 1 million straight to video movies after this.
Yeah.
All right, Alex. So 4 from Rob. Alex, what did you think of Paul Kersey, the doctor, not the architect?
Oh, man, I'm sorry, Rob. I'm sorry. Bruce Willis is not a believable surgeon. I'm going to be, I go into these movies, because first of all, I thought this shit was fake, but the minute I was like, okay, I started to watch the movie, and I remember Charles Bronson was the architect, and I was like, right, Bruce Willis would be way more of a believable architect than a surgeon, I tell you right now. Yeah. So them flipping it was one of the worst things they did. I didn't believe it at all. And a surgeon learning how to shoot a gun and then doing vigilante shit is not more believable than at least an architect in the Bronx.
He wouldn't even fight that guy at the soccer game.
Yeah. So for me, it wasn't, in terms of the character flaws and all that, I like the family aspect of it, because Bruce Willis does a very good job with family oriented stuff, like the John McClanes and all that crap. But this is a little bit John McClane-ish in terms of the character. Like, he didn't bring nothing new, nothing different. Like, it was just the same Bruce Willis action hero 101. Like, you're paying me to do the same character I did for like 80 years. So with that said, I'm not going to knock him, and I'm not going to floor him, because I did like the character. I just think Bruce Willis was so miscasted as this character. I'm going to give him a 3. I thought he was good, but he was not a believable surgeon. But that's not his fault. That was whoever casted him. So I give him a 3, though. I give him a 3.
All right. Let me start this off with, honestly, this is true. I love Bruce Willis. Like, I like a ton of his movies. Yeah. I like him on screen. I just think he has like super charismatic and everything. But, we have a little saying we came up with here on the Action Movie Guys, and it's with Sylvester Stallone. We call him, sometimes he gets a little sleepy and he becomes Sleepy Stallone. So what I'm going to call this one is, we're going to call this Drowsy Bruce. It was drowsy Bruce. There's a lot of scenes where he's just kind of phoning it in. He's like talking with people. What can I do? What if I put a reward? There seemed to be no urgency anytime he's not shooting people. Now, when he's shooting people, he's really good at it because he's done a million action movies. So that's, I have no problem with it. But Alex, I agree with you. I can't help but compare this to the original, because this is a remake. So I think this is fair game to do this. And I rewatched the original not that long ago. These are two totally different characters. Charles Bronson, you believe it because, one, he used to be in the military. He was a marksman, but he was a conscientious observer because his mom made him promise not to shoot anybody. So he gave up guns. There's a reason, though, why he was so good at shooting and good at killing. This dude literally never picked up a gun in his life. He goes into a freaking bin. What is that thing called? The storage bin. Yeah, storage unit. He almost shoots himself because it bounces around. Then the first night he's a vigilante, he shoots his hand somehow, which I've shot a gun before. I don't even know how that could happen. But anyway.
No, he didn't shoot his hand.
He shoots it and the thing slider, clips his hand.
The slider from the gun. Yeah, it does. That's actually true.
I've shot a gun before. And unless you're doing this with it like crazy.
But if you saw how he was shooting, he was on the floor and he's shooting with the momentum with the gun. Like, he never trained for that.
Here's the problem. Yeah, but here's the problem. He shoots like three bullets before that and nothing happens. And then all of a sudden, one bullet.
He's standing, though. He's standing. It's totally different.
No, it's not different.
The gun, Rob, you're the actual gun expert.
You know what?
No, you're the gun expert. Is it true or not true?
It's possible that can happen, but the way the guns are made now,
tell us, Rob.
The webbing in your hand will be at the below the slide, so you gotta have it pretty. You gotta have it pretty high up.
How did that part
there
of his hand get above the slide?
So he had a Glock 18. Can it happen with a Glock 18?
You gotta have it pretty high. I mean,
this guy was holding the gun upside down.
He said upside down.
That was a little annoying. And then all of a sudden, he becomes like a marksman as the movie goes on. He's going now. He's pop, 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 pop. He could just blast everybody. Anyway, I will say I gave him a 3, like Alex, though, because I do like Bruce. I like him. I like him in the vigilante scenes. It just doesn't make total sense, but I do like him in the family scenes with his daughter, with the brother. Yeah. Honestly, I did think he was very good there with Elizabeth Shue while she was alive. I enjoyed
him. She's hot.
She looks amazing still, even to this day. So I like, he's not a believable doctor, but he is a believable family man.
Yeah.
And he could be a believable marksman if the family man stuff was a little different. So a 3. I didn't hate him, but he's not as good as Charles Bronson in the original. All right. Villain. Now, this is one of those movies where there's like kind of a gang, but it ends up being this main guy.
Knox.
Yeah, he looks like a real douchebag. What did you think of Knox? Ooh. Alex.
Oh, me? Oh, okay. Well, first of all, there's not many scenes with Knox. And the only thing is towards the end, you see him when he goes in the elevator. He goes, oh, you're going home? I'm going home too. Okay. And I was like, all right, cool. So like, and then you had the scene in the club where he shot at him, which I thought that was a cool sequence. Then you had the beginning, the burglar scene. So there's only really 3 scenes in the film. He was good. I mean, he was really good, but I give him a 2 because there was not much of him. And it's Bruce really Willis team. Doing, Bruce Willis is doing Batman shit. He's like beating on everybody else trying to get to this guy. So like, if you would have did it in a group, I would have gave it a 3. I thought it would, in a group aspect, I would have given it a 3. But in terms of this one guy, the head guy who led this whole thing, he did kill the wife. He killed the wife, and one of the guys was trying to rape the daughter, and which I was okay with. I'm not okay with the rape. I'm just saying is that that was really close. I wish they did a little bit more of that. I felt like she stabbed him in the face, but then in a few scenes before, she said she was learning how to fight. So I was like, well, so what happened to your training? Like, I was a little thrown off with that, because didn't the brother say learn Krav Maga or whatever it was called?
Oh, yeah, Krav Maga.
That way.
That scene was funny.
Krav Maga. Did you learn?
So like, I mean, I gave it a 2. I don't know. I feel like he wasn't memorable.
That's fair. Rob, what do you got?
I guess we're going to go with Knox. So I gave him a 3. This is like a kind of like a standard villain. You can see it's not really fleshed out for me. So, and we've seen these kind of, bad guy thugs and the hundreds of these action movies. I wish it was fleshed out a little bit.
Yeah.
Yep.
So 3.
I'm going to agree with everything you guys both said, and I give you the same score as my buddy Alex. I give him a 2. He's just there. He's literally standard thug. That's like his character. Yeah. And there's no motivation to what he does as far as the crimes go, right? It's literally like a random, he gets the information from that Spanish dude. It's this little syndicate of guys who do breaking and entering and steal expensive stuff. And that's it. There's no really, you know who I wish was the villain in this? That guy called the Ice Cream Man. At least he got a cool name. He's selling drugs. Yeah. He's having kids be his like drug mules and stuff like that. They could have built him up somehow and made him like the reason why. But nope, he's just a guy with a cool name. Instead, we get Knox, who doesn't have a cool name, gets shot, goes to the hospital. And, he has all the information. If he really was smart, he could have just told the cops everything and said who did everything. And the guy would have got put away in jail and he would have just been able to live his life. Yeah. But no, he wants to be an idiot and be like, not tell them nothing. And then all of a sudden he knows like freaking these guys look like Russian military dudes at the end of the movie. I'm like, how does he even have these connections? But whatever. I give him a 2 as well. I think he's kind of silly and he's unmemorable. I didn't even remember his name if Alex didn't tell me. Right. Okay, let's get to it's what we do here. Let's get to the action. Rob, what do you got?
I'm going to score the action at about 3.5. I liked it. It was It was serviceable. Especially the scene where Bruce gets the guy underneath the car. It looks like a scene from Hostel or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Then he goes,
Jack
Yeah, that was cool. See brains everywhere. And like going, like Nate said, like these guys are like towards like the climactic shootout at the end. Where are these guys come with like all these automatic weapons? You know what I mean? For a bunch of thugs.
Yeah.
So I give it a 3.5. It was all right.
3.5 from Rob. Alex, what do you got?
All right. So when it came to the action here, I was a little torn because Eli Roth gave you enough action, but to me, it's not memorable action. Like, besides the guy getting dropped with the car, but I mean, other than that, you know, Bruce Willis is an action star for a reason. And if you're going to have an action star be a star of a most famous, you know, novel turned into a movie, right? Because Death Wish is a book.
Yep.
Right? With Charles Bronson, we haven't tackled him here yet, but legend. Action movie legend.
Oh, yeah.
Right? It's so poor. I was like, this kind of sucks ass, like, in terms of action, because Bruce Willis in certain scenes looked like he did not want to shoot a gun. He was just lazy shooting in certain scenes. But then there was other scenes that were fun, like in the scene with the were they in the bar or whatever the hell it is, where he went to get the wedding ring and they were shooting
the pawn shop.
The pawn shop. That scene was actually cool. I liked the scene at the club when the guy's shooting at everyone's chaos is erupting. I thought it was cool. The when he first did the first night with the SUV, I was like, that is pretty cool. But other than that, it's not. Oh, and then the ending, one of the most lackluster killing of a bad guy. You thought the dude Woody Harrelson in the last movie died shitty. This dude's Bruce Willis shot his assault rifle like he did not give a fuck. He was like, give me my $2 million because this movie's over. And he just shot there. He just went, brah. That's it. He kicked the table. The thing came down. He shot him. And I was like, that is it? Like, I mean, I know he killed the other guys around the house, but that shit, to me, it didn't, I don't know. I wanted more oomph. Like, when I saw, like, when they put Death Wish, I was like, okay. You know, I'm thinking this is going to be a full-out modernization of the Charles Bronson, which you could do so much with. Now, I didn't get it in the action. So, I'm not going to give it what, I don't want to give it a 2 because I think it got enough action and some fun Bruce Willis moments. So, I'm going to give it a 3. I thought it was good. I don't think it was great, and I definitely don't think it was perfect.
You guys said it all, and I had that written down already as well. I gave it a 3. The saving grace for me is at least it's rated R, and you know me, it's gory. Mm-hmm. Like, there's a lot of blood and squibs, and so I'm into that. I do love that the house at the end, and that dude falls off the stairs and, like, lands on his neck, and it gets all crunched. Yeah. Like, that's pretty gross. I also do, the only part at the house that I like as far as the shooting is when Bruce Willis is laying under the bed, and he's holding the gun like it's the guy's gun, and then the guy comes to the doorway, he, like, shoots it up. I thought that was a pretty clever way to do it. Other than that, this is the most standard, like, point and shoot action that you can get. And you can tell Eli Roth is not an action director because it's not bad. It's not like, wow, this is shaky camera and I can't, but it's also just there. There's no, like, flair to it. It's just like, here's these guys shooting and that's it. That's all it is. So I gave it a 3. I think it's average, but the gore helped, like the blood helps. This was PG-13, I would give this a 2 or a 1, but because there's, like, heads bursting, and at least I had a little bit of fun with that. So I think I've seen worse, but I've seen much better. So I gave it a 3.
Well, you said it the best though. Like, Eli Roth is a horror guy.
Right.
There were scenes in this movie that you saw his horror element, like his directing of horror, like in the beginning when the guy's hiding behind the doors and they walk. It was very creepy. I was like, you know what? I was like, if this guy could really know how to shoot an action movie, I was like, the both blending of both genres as a director would came out awesome, that whole scene right there. But it, you're right, Nate. It looked like he did not know where to go with these, where to place the cameras for these action sequences. Because I'll say, man, and we didn't even get a car chase. And I love my car chases.
There's zero car chases in this.
The beginning of the movie, I was like, yo, this is Bruce Willis in the car. Like, remember when the guy got shot and the cop got shot? And I was like, yo, this camera shot was awesome. It was on top of Chicago. He's honking horns.
Yeah.
And I was like, wow, he's a cop, but he was the doctor. And I was like, oh, this is whack.
He's like, gotta get into OR stat. Give me 10 cc's of O negative. I don't know.
Yeah.
He's making stuff up. All right. Storyline, Alex.
Okay. You know, I felt bad for Elizabeth Banks. I mean, Elizabeth Banks. Elizabeth Shue. Yeah, I felt bad for her. I she was great in the movie. I thought she was a great wife for what she was in. And I liked the story was okay. Like, it was, I don't know. I think it could have been so much better. I think him being a doctor threw me the fuck off, bro. I'm going to be honest. Like, I did not feel it. Like, this is not an action movie. You know what this movie reminds me of? And we haven't doing it here, okay? It reminded me of Collateral Damage with Arnold. He's a fireman that did not know how to shoot, but all of a sudden he's an action star throughout the whole movie. He's chasing the bad guys and shooting.
Don't worry. And it's on the schedule. We will be doing it.
Right. But you understand what I'm saying, though?
Yes.
Like, it's like you putting, like, Sylvester Stallone, he's going to be a therapist, and then all of a sudden he's going to be a one-man army looking for the guy who killed the thing. So, like, yeah. I didn't like that. The story, I like the family elements of it. I think what could have made the movie a little bit better if they killed the daughter, too. Might as well just kill them all. Don't have the daughter survive. Like, if you're going to have this guy go to the deepest well and whatever, kill the daughter also. Have the daughter, the mom die. And then then I go, okay, it's a little bit believable because now he wants full revenge on the whole thing. Like the Kevin Bacon movie that we saw.
That's
right. Like, all of a sudden he started just going after everybody and then he died at the end. And I was like, okay, cool. Yeah. This one should have did that style and I would have been okay with it. But they did this whole she'd survive and then it was not believable towards the thing. I was just like, So I gave it a 2. It's decent. Not good, not great, and not perfect.
Fair enough. All right, Rob, what do you got?
I gave it a 3. Yeah, because, you know, we kind of seen this kind of cookie cutter kind of story out.
Yeah.
What was kind of funny is the scene in the gun store. And I like that little table gadget when you kick it and pops. I wish I had one of those.
Rob wanted to order
one. We got to get you one. We're going to get you one.
All right.
Yeah.
And it's, see, this is the thing about it, you want to buy into the character. Like when you go back, you can't help to compare like to the original. When Charles Bronson beat up the thug with the roll of quarters and the sock, remember his first reaction? He is all like out of breath and he threw up.
And he like throws up. Yeah.
Yeah. And we can relate to that. He never, you know, he's an architect, a peace loving architect, you know. Mm-hmm. Then he first time he goes, you know, his wife is lost. His daughter was raped in the movie. And then he goes through like assaulting one of these guys. And your first reaction is all that adrenaline throws up. Yeah. This one, it was like too convenient. Like, how did he find the gun? Like in the ambulance and he kicks it?
No, it was in the hospital. Falls off in the table.
Yeah, it falls in the gurney. Yeah.
Because he sees his watch. He was like, wait a minute, motherfucker got my watch.
Right. And I go, oh, yeah. I wouldn't be shooting inside a storage unit. That's not smart.
Well, I think that was the whole point of that scene. It's like he didn't know, but he still did it anyway. Towards the whole movie.
He went back there and kept shooting in there. Yeah. He put a little sign and then all of a sudden, the sign will save me.
Yeah, marksman. You know. Yeah.
All right, so 3 you said, right?
3.
All right, this was a tough one because there's so much stuff in this that I don't like. You can't. This is totally different than the original. The original one is like 40 years older than this one, and it's way more like edgy and hardcore, you know? And I don't mean gore. This one's gorier. But like Rob said, the first one, literally the daughter gets raped and then like goes insane, like goes crazy, right. Can't even talk anymore. Then you have the character who's her husband. In this one, it's his brother instead as that other character, right? The wife dies. That's the same in both. They reversed it here where he's in Chicago. And then at the end, she goes to college in New York. And here he lives in Chicago. Oh, that's this one. And the other one, he lives in New York. And then at the end, he goes to Chicago. So they like flip flopped it. They totally changed the character. The motivation is different. And here's what I don't like about this movie. The first movie, the people who do the crime, they just get away. Like they just leave. You know what I mean? Like the point is not specifically. He doesn't specifically solve the mystery of what happened, you know, at his house. And in this movie, it is the standard revenge. I'm going to figure out who did this because the cops can't figure it out and take the law into. And it's very generic in that way. I kind of like in the first movie that they just get away. Like they're random people. They get away with it. He does vigilantism to stop other stuff. but he doesn't solve the crime of his own thing. And the cops in the original movie, there's that cop character who's trying to track him down. That added a layer of like suspense. Like, is he going to get him? Is he not? Here, you never really feel like they're going to get him. And even at the end, they find out it's him. He's just like, all right, but you're like, have a good life. So I thought that was a little weird. Like, there's a lot of stuff compared to the original, even just story-wise, I don't think it's as good. I gave it a 2 as well. And I really hate all the radio show stuff.
He's the Grim Reaper.
What do you think about it? And you could tell they're trying to be topical and current.
Sway in the morning. Yeah.
So you got Sway in here and Mancal. I like the Grim Reaper. I think you should keep shooting these people. I hate all that stuff. So I gave it a 2. So 2, 2, 3. All right. Overall, Rob, what did you think?
Just okay. So I gave it a 3. I gave it a 3. It seems like I liked it more in 2018 than I did now. It didn't age well.
Yeah, agree.
It didn't age. I remember I was all jazzed up when I heard about it. They had at Rego, they gave out a collectible ticket and all that.
I got that one.
I watched it a couple nights ago. Yeah, it just kind of lost its flavor a little bit, you know?
Fair enough. All right, so 3, Alex, what do you 3. Got for the movie that you thought was fake?
The movie I thought was fake. So, you know, it's crazy, but I enjoyed it for what it was. Like, it was a fun, fun. It was a sit-down action movie. Like, Nate always says, like, a dad action movie.
Yes.
Like, that's pretty much it. Like, if you really like Bruce Willis in an action film, that's what you're getting here. Like, if you're going to sit here thinking you're going to get a new version of Death Wish, nope. Like, not at all. But in terms of that, I will be picking this up in 4K to add it to my action collection, because I would see it again if I'm, like, doing laundry. I was like, okay, I could throw this on just to pass time. That I would say. Second, I will say is that I think this movie was very bright for this style of movie. Like, for instance, I would have shot it more darker tone at night more, because I felt like that's where all the bad people come out. That's where stuff happens. This movie is just so bright.
Too glossy, you said?
Too glossy. Yeah. It felt very cinematic. Like, you want gritty. You want
like the original true was. To life. Like the original.
Yes. Yep. Like, you want that. I mean, Chicago's a cool place, but I would have shot it again in New York. Go to the worst part of New York and just film. Like, I would have had
some film in Michael LA.
LA. Yeah, did something like that. Like, Michael Mann, to me, like, his style could work for this type of movie.
Handheld.
Tony Scott would have did a great job with this movie. Yep. I'm trying to think of, like, a director
James
now.
James Wan did it. Death Sentence was a better remake of Death Wish than this was, in my opinion.
Yeah. Oh, Anthony Fuqua. What's his name?
Fuqua.
I think he would have did a great job with this movie because of the equalizers. So I think he would have did a good job with this movie. But anyway, that's what I would have done. But I gave it a 3. I kind of enjoyed it for what it was.
All right. So I own this movie digitally. I will not be getting a 4K of it because I don't ever think I'll watch it again. So it's just in my Vudu collection. It's there. But I did give it a 3. I think it's serviceable. Like, sure, if you don't compare it to the original, it is definitely a dad movie. I wouldn't call it watchable crap because it doesn't reach the lows necessary, and it also doesn't reach the like fun necessary for that. It's just sort of regular. It's like a basic. I can see why critics would give it an 18. I don't think it's that bad. I don't think it's that good either. It just sort of is there. Bruce is in it. One thing, I love Vincent D'Onofrio as an actor, and I like him in this. Did you guys feel the same way? I constantly thought they were gonna like make it like he was in on it somehow. Like he's bad with money.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Yes, I thought he owned money, and then he came to his brother because he was rich, and he killed his family.
And then he's just actually good the whole time. So it was a little, it felt weird to me watching it. It plays like, at any moment now, it's going to be revealed that he hired the guys and it went wrong and Bruce Willis is going to have to deal with him. And that might have been better, but it didn't happen.
In the couch. I think in the couch, right? When he was talking to him in the basement.
Yeah.
I thought he was going to reveal it. I was like, messed up.
They're just brothers. So in a way, I guess it's a little refreshing that they didn't go that route, but it might have made a little more flavor.
It would have been better.
I think it's fine. All right, Robert, what is your total points for this one?
Total is going to be 16.5.
16.5. Alex, what do you got?
13.
Me too. 13 for me as well. Remake month getting off. to a hot start.
Well, you know what? I will say this. In defense of Death Wish, it wasn't as bad as what we did, like, other
not as bad as Rollerball.
Movies. Not bad as Rollerball. That's a remake. I think this was very watchable than the others.
It is. It's just...
It was just
I'm doing hand motions. If you guys are listening, you can't see me. It's just... you know, it's just... Yeah. It's fine. I'm pretty sure I showed my actual dad this, not my dad, Bruce Willis, and he thought, this is pretty good. So, you know, it's like one of those.
Yeah.
Standard revenge movie. All right. Yeah. Here's what we got coming up. Next week, we're launching a brand new franchise. Going to be doing a little Mad Max. So we will be reviewing the first movie, of course, Mad Max, which will be followed by The Road Warrior, and then Mad Max Beyond Thunderdome, and then Mad Max Fury Road. Now, we had covered a long time ago the 4K disc of Mad Max, but we never reviewed the movie. So I'm actually looking forward to rewatching this one. And then continuing on with Remake Month, we're doing a remake of a John Carpenter film that I know Alex doesn't like. So I don't know if he'll like the remake. We're doing Assault on Precinct 13, which is... is starring like Ethan Hawke is in this movie and Lawrence Fishburne. Isn't Lawrence Fishburne in this movie?
I think
movie?
Lawrence Fishburne is in
this
one.
Maria Bello. And it's directed by that French guy who made Bloodfather, which I love. So I haven't seen this movie in forever, but let's see if it's good or not.
Yeah, I haven't seen this one in a while. I mean, I remember we did a live, and not me and you, it was me and Dave. We did the original.
Gabriel Byrne's in this one too. Gabriel Byrne.
Yeah. What a cast. So I'm looking for, I haven't seen this one since in the mid 2000s, whenever it came out.
I remember, from what I remember liking the remake more than the original.
I know you're not a fan of the original.
I hate the original. Like, there's no way. I mean, I'm not going to cough. I am not coughing it up for everyone going, yeah, I'm going to talk like this is the best movie. I hated the original. That one I remember. I was like, hail to the motherfucking no. This is whack. But I know there's people that like it. So I'm not going to knock it. I mean, you like it. But yeah, I don't like the original John Carpenter one. But so,
this might be better.
I remember liking the Ethan Hawke version of it. I felt like it was more of a story of it. But anyway,
but
that's it. Anything else besides that?
No, Robert, thank you for coming on the show, of course.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it. Thank you.
We'll definitely have you on the future for another episode. And again, everyone, if you want to follow Robert on Instagram, that's Big Knock, NAK007. Not the letter O, 007. You can follow him on Instagram, and he loves movies, and he loves talking about movies. So give him a follow there.
All right. So there you have it, guys. If you guys want to follow us on our social media accounts, please follow Nate over on Instagram at Nateflix Reviews. Check out the podcast with him and his friends called Nateflix Movie Reviews. Nate also goes live every other Monday when we're not live on YouTube. Head over to, again, Instagram at Nateflix Reviews at 9 p.m. Eastern. He teamed up with his old buddies from this podcast, and they do some movie reviews, and they chatted up for an hour, so you guys could join in and have fun with that. Anything action movie, guys, you guys can head over again to Instagram at Geeks and Flicks. Other than that, head over to our official website at www.geeksandflicks.com. And he is your host,
Nate from Nateflix Reviews.
I'm his co-host, Alex Figueroa. Thank you so much, Big Knock-a-Knock, at doing the podcast.
Thanks for having me again.
All right, thank you so much. Be awesome to each other. And geek out.